مولانا سليمان رابط. Please be with him as he goes along in this lecture. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with you as you go along. جزاكم الله خيرا.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
How you doing?
You well?
How's your night?
Very good. Excellent.
Best of luck.
Alhamdulillah.
Be with you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. الحمد لله الحمد لله العلي الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى أشهد أنه لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صاحب المقام المعلى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال رب ارجعون لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, mothers and sisters, we live in a world where there is too much focus on the past and the future and too little focus on the present. We spend too much time grieving over what happened or what could have happened or what should have happened in the past, and we spend too much of time speculating and worrying about what can happen and what should happen in the future. The reality is that what you do in the present, that will determine your future. Your approach towards your present will determine your future in this world, in the dunya, and it will determine your future in the akhirah. I have been tasked by the organizers to discuss, to unpack, and to elaborate on a very famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the opening words of this hadith are, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. The Nabi of Allah says, appreciate five things before five. And this hadith has become renowned as the hadith of five before five. And what are those five things? شبابك قبل حرمك. Appreciate your youth before your old age. وَصِحَّتَكَ قَبْلَ سَقَمِكَ. Appreciate your health before you become sick. وَغِنَاكَ قَبْلَ فَقْرِكَ. Appreciate your wealth before poverty. وَفَرَاغَكَ قَبْلَ شُغْلِكَ. Appreciate your free time before you become occupied. وَحَيَاتَكَ قَبْلَ مَوْتِكَ. And appreciate your life before death. So these are the five things that we are going to unpack and that we are going to discuss. But before I go into the hadith proper, let us understand that the scholars have told us that this hadith is one of the core ahadith in Islamic tradition, because it is motivating us towards right action in the different circumstances and the different phases of our life. This hadith, in a few words, is telling us about the different stages and the different phases that we will find ourselves in during the course of our life. And it is conscientizing us. It is making us aware as to how to approach these different sets of circumstances. It's warning us before it's too late. It wants to protect us from major mistakes in life. It's highlighting to us these a few simple sentences from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed lips. It is highlighting to us that as Muslims, what should be our goals, what should be our priorities, and what should be our aspirations in life. Now, there are two key principles, two key principles which are being highlighted in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first is the principle of time management and understanding that there needs to be a sense of urgency in our lives. That's the first principle which is being highlighted in this hadith. And the second principle is expressing proper shukr and gratitude to Allah for His bounties. So time management and gratitude, these are the two overarching principles which are highlighted in this prophetic tradition of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you look at the language of this hadith, it's telling us that life is short. It's highlighting to us the limited nature of our life, and it's emphasizing the point that time is fast running out. It wants us to act now to seize the moment. I'm going to use these phrases repeatedly in this discourse. Act now, seize the moment. It's not much about what happened in the past or what's going to happen in the future. It's about the year, it's about the now. So that's the first major theme that this hadith is emphasizing. The second is gratitude. If you look at all of these five, your youth, your health, your wealth, your time and your life, these are major bounties which Allah has given us. So the second principle which this hadith is driving home is that, listen, use these bounties which Allah has given you constructively. Utilize it in the obedience of Allah. The greatest act of ingratitude, the greatest act of ingratitude is to use that which Allah has given you in the disobedience of Allah. May Allah protect us from such ingratitude. So this hadith is telling us that do not only verbally be grateful to Allah, where you say Alhamdulillah, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr, but use these bounties which Allah has given you to do the right things at the right time and physically show your gratitude to Allah. Now, let us unpack the hadith. The very first word, the very first instruction here is اغتنم خمسًا قبل خمسٍ. Appreciate. I don't want to go too much into a linguistic discussion. I don't want to get too technical. But let me say, اغتنم, the scholars tell us, it is highlighting and denoting this point that when circumstances are favorable, when circumstances are favorable, take maximum advantage. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that these bounties, these five bounties which Allah has given you, it has resulted in circumstances being favorable. So maximize on it, optimize on it. Which is the first of the five? Shababaka qabla haramik. Your youth before your old age. Now, many times we think that youth refers to those who are in the teenage phase only, those who are yet to get married. But in the Arabs, until the age of 40, you are still a youngster. You are still considered to be from the youth. Why does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam single out this period in a person's life? Shabab. Because this is the time in your life when you are most energetic, not only physically, but mentally as well. This is the time in your life when you're laying the foundations for your future, when you're planning for your life. So on the one hand, you are most energetic at this phase in your life, but simultaneously you are most vulnerable. Because when you are in your youth, your desires are at their peak. So you're most vulnerable to succumbing to sensual pleasures. You're most vulnerable to succumbing to the trappings and the luxuries of this world, to getting sucked in by long and distant hopes about what you will do in the future. So, in short, when you are in your youth, your capacity and your faculties are at their prime, but you are also most vulnerable. And what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us here, by saying that, appreciate your youth before old age, he's saying, utilize this energy which you have during your youth and utilize this enthusiasm constructively. Now, many times our young brothers and sisters, when we tell them utilize your youth constructively, they tend to think we mean they must live lives where they only sit in the masjid the whole day, or where they're only reading the Quran the whole day, and they tend to think now that means I must lead a boring life. No, not at all. If you heard my talk yesterday about niyyah and intention, Islam does not say you must spend all your time in the masjid or all your time making dhikr or reading Quran. Do constructive work. Pursue your career, pursue your goals, pursue your objectives, but do it constructively and do it with the right intention, and every second of your life is ibadah. And if you get it right in your youth, there is a great glad tiding which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given, the famous hadith, sab'atun yudhilluhumullahu fi dhillihi yawm al-qiyamah. There are seven categories of people Allah will honor them by giving them shade under His own throne on the day of Qiyamah. And one of those seven categories is that person who in his youth lived his life constructively. He did not get sucked into the temptations of this world. He lived a fulfilling life for the pleasure of Allah. There is a hadith, and I'm just going to give you the mafhum, the crux of it. And I'm going to ask you, all of you, that pay attention to this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you are young and you are capable, and if you do certain good actions, so when you are young and capable, you do certain good actions. Later on in life, when you become sick and when you become incapable, you can no longer do those actions. But because you did it in the earlier part of life when you had the ability, Allah will continue to give you the reward in the latter part of your life, even though you no longer have the ability to do it. So utilize your youth to invest for the latter part of your life. Utilize this best period in your life, when you have all your faculties at their prime, when you have full capacity to invest in your akhirah. When we look at the history of Islam, there's so much that the youth had achieved at a young age. You will be astounded to hear the most authentic book of hadith is Sahih al-Bukhari. Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari had completed his compilation of hadith at the age of 21. 21. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu an was made the leader of an army by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the age of 17. And our history is rich and replete with such great examples. Unfortunately today, many of our youth, they get sucked into this kind of a Western mindset that when you're young, you must let loose. When you're young, you must enjoy yourself. You know, the hedonistic culture, just fulfill your desires. The West, they want a young person to have the privileges of an adult, but not the responsibilities of an adult. So youngsters are motivated. If you look at the culture that is promoted, if you look at what is promoted through the movies, through advertisements, that when you're young, enjoy your life. Enjoy it in sexual pleasure. Enjoy it in the trivialities of life. Go out till the late hours of the night. Party, drink, have different boyfriends, different girlfriends. Later on in life, you'll sober up. Later on in life, you'll mature. Islam says, no, this is the best period of your life, your youth. Utilize it constructively. You know, technology has really distracted our youth. Technology, especially the mobile, it has many benefits, but nowadays it's all about tweeting this and Instagramming that. The youngsters, they come to the table, they eat with the right hand, they're texting with the left hand. Even when they're going to the bathroom, they're opening the door with one hand, they got the mobile in the other hand. They don't want to leave the mobile even when they're going to relieve themselves. You know, later on in life, your faculties will diminish. On a lighter note, let me share with you something I read the other day. They say one man, he became a little old, so his eyesight was weak. So he woke up in the middle of night and he heard a beeping sound from his wife's mobile. So he picked it up and he saw something that shocked him. So he woke his wife up and said, "Who is this messaging you in the middle of the night saying, beautiful, beautiful?" So his wife woke up and she said, "What's this?" So she looked and she said, "You see, I told you your eyes have become weak. You must wear your spectacles. There's no beautiful written here. It's battery full. It's battery full." So utilize your eyes and utilize every other faculty in a constructive way. So if you look at this first category from the five, youth, Allah is saying this raw energy that you have in your youth, utilize it constructively for yourself for the ummah and for humanity. So when it comes to your youth, seize the moment, act now. Seize the moment, act now. We move on to the second category that's mentioned in this hadith. وَصِحَّتَكَ قَبْلَ سَقَمِكَ. Appreciate your health before sickness. We don't know when sickness can strike. Today, people who are going to the gym, who are very fit, they have sudden heart attacks and then they have problems. Forget a major ailment or a major illness. Let me give you an example of something very basic. You know, sometimes you slip, you break a hand. Nothing major. We know it's going to go in a cast. After 6 weeks, everything will be functioning. But ask a person whose hand was broken for 6 weeks, how their life changed. Now you can't drive the car. It becomes difficult to put on your clothes. When you go to the bathroom, it's difficult to clean yourself. It becomes difficult to eat. It becomes difficult in terms of the postures of sleeping. You only appreciate the functioning of a hand when it's no longer functioning the way it's supposed to function. These things can happen to any one of us at any time, irrespective of how young or how healthy we may be. So Allah says, appreciate your health before sickness. Today, we are caught in the rat race of life. People are neglecting their health in the pursuit of wealth. And the irony is, when they make that wealth, then they have to use that wealth to try and restore their health. So you don't look after yourself because you're chasing this world, materialistic targets and goals. And eventually, when you got all the money, you don't have the health. Now you need to use the money to be able to restore the health. And Islam has put a lot of encouragement on preservation of health. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Al-mu'minu al-qawi khayrun wa ahabbu ilallahi min al-mu'mini al-da'if wa fi kullin khayr. That a strong believer is better than a weak believer, although there's goodness in both because they are believers at the end of the day. So this hadith talks about appreciating your health before sickness. But health is not only physical health, even your mental health, your emotional health. There are times when mentally you are stable, and there are times when mentally you will be not so stable. So appreciate that which you have before it is taken. That's why one scholar so beautifully remarked, and he said, a good thought. You know, when you have a thought to do something good, it's like a visitor. A visitor, if you look after it well, it will come again. Somebody comes to your house, they visit you, you entertain them well, you are hospitable to them, they will return time and again. When a thought comes to your mind that let me do this good act, let me perform some nafil salah, let me give some charity, do not ignore the thought. If you ignore it, then you are not showing hospitality, don't come again. But if you show it hospitality, meaning you practice upon it immediately, the thought of doing good will come time and again to your mind. So that's a sign of good health mentally and psychologically and emotionally. In the end, there's a lot that we can discuss. Each one of these five bounties which are spoken about can be lectures on their own. But let me share with you a quote before we wrap up this one. They say the best investment you can make is the investment in your health. The best investment you can make is the investment in your health. So again, when the Nabi of Allah says, وَصِحَّتَكَ قَبْلَ سَقَمِكَ, that appreciate your health before sickness, he's telling us, act now. Act now. Seize the moment. Whilst your body is functioning, do as much as you can. Otherwise, when you are in old age, you'll have a lot of time, but you won't be able to put your head down in sujood. You'll only be able to perform salah on a chair. Many times when we're young, we say, no, I don't want to go for hajj now, I'm not ready. Then when you're old and you have to go for hajj, you struggle because you don't have the physical strength any longer. Whilst you have the capacity, act now. Seize the moment. We move on to the third. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَغِنَاكَ قَبْلَ فَقْرِكَ. Appreciate your wealth before poverty. Many times, we hear stories of rags to riches. Rags to riches. People who have nothing and then they get everything. But you also hear stories of riches to rags. People who had a lot and then circumstances changed so suddenly, they don't know what hit them and now they don't have anything. They were givers, they become takers. Allah is saying, whilst you have, utilize your wealth constructively. This category is not only for those who are rich. It's not only for those who are affluent. It's for all of us. Meaning, even if you're not rich, but now you may have a little more, later you may have a little less. What do we take from this statement? First thing the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, that use your money wisely. Utilize your finances prudently. Don't buy a flashy car with millions of dollars, but you haven't purchased a house. Understand your priorities. You know, when it comes to money, don't be too stingy on the one hand, but don't be lavish and extravagant on the other hand. Utilize your money nicely. Let me share with you something on a lighter note. They say there was this man, he was a very stingy husband. Very stingy. Don't worry, mothers and sisters, I won't ask you to pick up your hand if you have a stingy husband. Keep it in your heart. May Allah make him generous. So, he got terminally ill. And it was just a matter of days. So one day he's sitting and his wife says, is there any last wish that you have? He says, yes, I have one last wish. She said, what is it? I'll do it for you, my beloved husband. He said, when I die, take my money and put it in the shroud, put it in the coffin. Let them bury me with it. So she said, your whole life you gave me nothing and then you want to take it with you also. Anyway, when he died, as they were about to lift the body, she came with a small parcel, she put it there. So the other women started rebuking her. They said, he's dead now, you don't have to worry. It's your money, it's your children's money. She said, no, no, no. I wrote him a check. In the grave, if he can cash it, then he can keep it. Otherwise, it's mine. Yours is what you have invested for the akhirah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who of you loves the wealth of his inheritors more than his own wealth? The sahaba said, nobody, we all love our own wealth more. He said, your wealth is what you have invested in your akhirah. And that which you leave behind after your death, that is for your inheritors. You can invest in charity, but you can also invest in yourself and in your family by utilizing your wealth constructively. There's one thing I want to mention quickly before we move on. Today we live in a world where we are focused on our wants and not our needs. If you need something and you have the money, buy the best. You need a pair of shoes, buy the best shoe that you can afford. Good quality, so you don't have to buy for a long period of time another pair. But do not buy when you want something and you don't need it. Because your wants will never come to an end. Today, I was giving the example the other day, when I was upgrading my mobile, my son said, Dad, buy the iPhone X. So I said, why? He said, it's the latest. Anyway, I got the iPhone X, not because it was the latest, but because what was available on my contract. 3 months later, he said, Dad, this phone is old now. There's another one on the market. I think you should get that one. I said, what's the difference? He says, no, it's got a slightly better camera. That's it. You see, that's what happens when you try and get everything that you want rather than that which you need. And that is when you won't use your wealth properly. What you want today is not what you will want tomorrow. What you want tomorrow is not what you will want the next day. Trends are always changing. That's why they say you will never be happy if you suffer from the next syndrome. The next syndrome. What is the next syndrome? You think your happiness will be in the next car or the next gadget. Or the next holiday that you're going to go on. Or the next person. You're never satisfied with what you have now. You always think you will be happy when you get the next. And it's like chasing your shadow. It'll be the next and the next and the next and it will never end. So wealth is not bad in itself. Wealth can secure your Jannah. Look at Uthman radiallahu anhu, how he utilized his wealth. And the Nabi of Allah said, for Uthman is Jannah. For Uthman is Jannah. So the Nabi of Allah said, whilst you have, even if you're not rich, whilst you have wealth, utilize it for yourself, but constructively. Utilize it for your family, that is also rewarding. But don't forget the ummah, don't forget humanity. خَيْرٌ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of people are those who are of the most of benefit to others. So again, this is the third of the five. وَغِنَاكَ قَبْلَ فَقْرِكَ. Appreciate what you have in terms of wealth before you will have less. Act now. Act now. Seize the moment. We move on to the fourth. And I want to spend some time here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَفَرَاغَكَ قَبْلَ شُغُلِكَ. Appreciate your free time before you become occupied. Appreciate your free time before you become occupied. There's one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which I want to share with you. The Nabi of Allah says, نِعْمَتَانِ. Two bounties of Allah. Allah's bounties upon us are infinite, countless, limitless. But the Prophet ﷺ draws our attention to two bounties, ni'matan. Why these two? مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. The Prophet ﷺ says, when it comes to these two bounties, the majority of people are in deception. Which are the two? السِّحَّة, good health, والفراغ, time and opportunity. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi, when he started his compilation of ahadith, Kitab al-Zuhd wal-Raqa'iq, he started with this hadith. Imam Bukhari, when he started his chapter on Zuhd, he started with this hadith. This hadith encourages us to ponder and reflect very deeply. One third of your life is spent in sleep. Another third of your life is spent in mundane activities, eating, drinking, socializing. There's very little time left for active utilization. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that appreciate the time which Allah has given you before you become occupied. You know, brothers and sisters, in English they say time is gold, time is money, when they want to emphasize time. I say that in Islam we should be saying time is life. Time is life. Why? Because what are we in the end of the day? We are but that number of seconds for which Allah has decreed that we will live. Every second that passes in our lives is a second that passes away in our lives. Time is life. One day a great scholar went to the house of someone who had passed on, and he said to the family, had it not been that this was a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you must come and offer your condolences to the bereaved family, I would not have come, because I don't see much of a difference between me and the man who passed on. He came for a stipulated number of seconds. His seconds have expired. Minds are in the process of expiring. Time is life. If you don't remember anything I say to you today, remember what I'm going to tell you now. Just take a breather. I want your undivided attention on this one point. Let's take a hypothetical scenario. Let's say that the day a baby is born, the angel comes with a box, and in those box, there are dollars, American dollars, not Zimbabwean dollars, right? And the angel tells the parents that whatever there is in this box, that is all that this child will have in terms of money for a lifespan of 65 years. The baby is still suckling, still crying, doesn't appreciate money. The parents will look after the money. The first thing the parents will teach the child when the child grows big, this is all you have. Whatever notes there are in this box, that has to last you your entire life. You're not going to have not 1 cent more. Now, that's a hypothetical scenario. It doesn't happen. I just wanted to draw an analogy. Our lives is not very different. The day we were born, Allah has given us an imaginary box full of seconds for which we will live. The only difference is you can open up that box and count the notes. We don't know how many seconds we will live. But whatever it is that Allah has decreed, 30 years, 50 years, or 60 years of seconds, that's all that we have. And that is the currency. This is the point I want to make. The seconds that we have in our life, that is the currency, the money which Allah has given us to invest in our everlasting life of the Akhirah. Allah has given us time as a currency to use in this world, to invest in the everlasting life of the Akhirah. When you waste time, or when you don't utilize your time optimally, you're wasting the currency which Allah has given you to prepare for a life that will never come to an end. That is how serious this aspect of time is. And you know what is the secret to time? Many times we read the stories of the pious, that in such a short lifespan they did so much. The more you value your time, the more Allah will grant you barakah in your time. The more you value your time, the more Allah will grant you barakah in your time. So act now, seize the moment. Act now, seize the moment. You know, somebody said something profound and it really hit me. They say, more than managing time, we need to manage ourselves. More than regulating time, we need to regulate ourselves. Let me give you one story. There was this one man who went one day to a leader and said, show me a saint. Showed me a person who's really pious. So he said, go to that mosque and you'll see that man there. He's involved, he's occupied in dhikr. He's a pious man. So this guy went, and he wanted to test the piety of this individual. So as he walked into the masjid, the man's back was facing him. So from the back, he hit him, one shot. But this man did not move. Why? He thought to himself, if I must turn around to see who hit me, then I'm going to get angry. I'm going to say some things to him. I'll want to take revenge. Too much of my time will get wasted. Let me stay focused on making the dhikr of Allah. So he didn't even turn back. He managed himself, and in the process, he managed his time. We get distracted by many things which are not priority in life. You know, I spoke about technology, but make technology work for you. Technology has made life so easy for us. Nowadays, transport, communication, cooking, writing, all of it has become so much easier because of technology. How is it that we're more busy and we have less time than those people who didn't have the benefits of technology? We need to make use of technology in such a way that it buys us time rather than wasting time. So act now, seize the moment, seize the moment. Let me quickly give you some examples. Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, the great scholar, when somebody used to invite him, this is how he used to value his time. If somebody invited him for a meal, he would say, you know what, give me a place in your house where I can continue with my reading while you're getting the meal ready, so even that time doesn't get wasted. I'll accept your invitation, but I'll sit one side and continue with my work whilst the food is being prepared. Ibn Jarir Tabari, it is mentioned that when they looked at the number of books that he wrote in his life, and they divided by the number of days, it came to 40 pages per day that he wrote. For 40 pages per day. You and I don't even read 40 pages. We don't even read 40 pages in a month. He was writing 40 pages in a day. Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, he said, I have studied more than 20,000 books in my life. The more you value your time, the more Allah will grant you barakah in your time. Act now. Seize the moment. Let me give you a few tips. How do we protect our time, which is our greatest investment? The first thing is, avoid laziness. Now, if I have to ask any one of you here who's lazy, no one is going to pick up the hands. Because when we think of laziness, we think of that person who's on the street corner who does absolutely nothing, just lazes around the whole day. That's an extreme example of laziness. But there's another definition of laziness. Then if we look at it in light of that definition, we'll see most of us are guilty. You know, on a lighter note, there was this teacher who told the student, you are very lazy. The student said, no sir, I'm not lazy. I am just highly motivated to do nothing. I am not lazy. I am just highly motivated to do nothing. What is the definition of laziness? I have read many different definitions. I'll give you the crux of it. The failure to do what you're supposed to do at the time when you're supposed to do it, despite having the ability to do it. If you have the ability to do now what you're supposed to do now and you don't do it, you are being lazy and you're wasting time. It's as simple as that. What are the causes of us wasting time? First and foremost, procrastination. Shaitan will never tell a believer, don't perform salah. He makes you procrastinate and procrastinate until the salah time lapses. He does it a few times and it becomes a habit. When you delay today's work for tomorrow, that's how you waste time. They say tomorrow is the only day in the year that appeals to a lazy person. Anything you tell him to do, he says, I'll do it tomorrow. The second thing that causes us to waste time is distraction. Distraction, and perhaps the greatest tool of distraction today is the mobile phone. If you have work to do and it will take you half an hour, but you're checking your WhatsApp every 5 minutes, half an hour's work will take you 1 hour, and that half an hour is a half an hour wasted in your life. Distraction. The third thing is indecisiveness. Indecisiveness. There are three aspects to indecisiveness. I'm not going to get very philosophical with you on a Sunday morning. I'll simplify it. The first thing in indecisiveness is paralysis of analysis. You get some people, they're always analyzing, but they don't get down to doing it. The second is those people who overthink. They're only thinking and thinking, but they don't do. And the last of the three when it comes to indecision is paradox of choices. When you have too many choices in your life, life becomes complicated. You know, I normally give the example, like when husband and wife are getting ready on a Sunday morning for a function, and the wife tells the husband, what must I wear? You see, this dress, it's the right color, but it's too tight. This dress, it fits me, but it's the wrong color. It's not going to be in sync with the theme of the function. This third dress, it's the right size, it's the right color, but I wore it the last time. What if they remember that I wore it the last time? When you have too much choices in life, you waste time. That's why they say indecision is the thief of opportunity. Mundane matters, you must make quick decisions. Life is too valuable. Life is too valuable. Let me give you one or two examples and then I'll conclude on how to manage time. First thing, get organized. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very organized. When you live in a cluttered environment, you'll waste a lot of time. The more simpler your life, the more effective you will be in time management. So that's the first thing, get organized. The second thing is, work with a schedule, work with a timetable. Know what you're going to do for the day, for the week, for the month, for the year. So even when you're relaxing constructively. It's not taking you half an hour every day to decide what to do or what to start with. The third thing, have an intentions journal. Write down what you want to do for the year. What are your goals? What are your objectives? How much of it will materialize? That is in the control of Allah. But if you know what you want to do, then you get going. You get going. You don't waste time. You have an intentions journal. How many of us have a one-year plan, a five-year plan? If you appreciate your life, then you'll have that. Otherwise, you'll become like that student. The teacher told him, you are so lazy that even if they gave you a prize for laziness, you'll send someone else to pick it up. You are so lazy that if they gave you a prize for laziness, you'll send someone else to pick it up. The greatest way of managing your time, listen to me. The greatest way of managing your time is to create your schedule around the time of Salah, not to try and squeeze Salah into your schedule. Jonathan Fields has written a book and he says that life is so topsy-turvy, so up and down, that you need rituals in your life to stabilize you. And there's no greater stabilizing ritual than Salah. Robin Sharma has been researching for 4 years. He's writing a book called The 5 AM Club. The 5 AM Club is not some club downtown in the red light district. The 5 AM Club is his research of all those who have been successful in life. Politicians, sports people, business people. They are all awake by 5 o'clock in the morning. You are part of the 5 AM Club if you respond to As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. Then if you get going, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the greatest barakah for my ummah is in the early hours of the morning. By the time Zohar comes, you're getting tired. The salah pulls you in, it refreshes you, it pushes you out, you're rejuvenated. When you come to the last 2-3 hours of your working day, Asr pulls you in, rejuvenates you. You close your day with Maghrib, you retire to bed with Isha. Your whole day is around the schedule of salah. There will have to be barakah in your time. There will have to be barakah in your time. Lastly, you know, they say, if you want to realize the value of 1 minute, ask the person who missed a train. You want to realize the value of 1 second, ask the person who avoided an accident. If you want to realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who came second in the Olympics. Time is not wasted in hours, it's wasted in minutes. If you have a small hole under a bucket, all the water will drain out in the same way it will drain out if you just topple the whole bucket. So look after the minutes and the hours will take care of themselves. The last category of the five, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَحَيَاتَكَ قَبْلَ مَوْتِكَ. Appreciate your life before death. Appreciate your life before death. The verse which I recited right in my introduction, Allah says on the day of Qiyamah, there will be those who will say, oh Allah, give us a second chance. Allah says, no. The question will be asked, and this is serious. Every one of us will have to answer this question on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will say, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ. I gave you life, tell me what did you do with your life? If you ask for a second chance, Allah will say there's no second chance. Why? وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. I sent warners to you. What were the warners? The Anbiya, the Khulafa, the Ulama. That's one interpretation of Nadir, warner. Another interpretation, grey hair. When you started to grey, it ought to remind you that I'm getting closer to the grave. The third interpretation of Nadir is when you became a grandparent. It's already a second generation after you that exists. You're getting closer to your grave. Allah warns us, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ Hatta zurtumul maqabir. You will be chasing dunya until death catches you suddenly. Don't be caught unawares. Appreciate your life before death. Mutu qabla an tamutu wa hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. Die before death, meaning prepare for death by visualizing about death before death comes. And prepare for your reckoning by taking your own reckoning before your reckoning comes. That's why Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, every day when you wake up, do four things. Make niyyah. And we spoke about the power of niyyah in yesterday's discourse. Make niyyah that today I'm going to live my life in the way Allah wants me to live. Make a promise to yourself and to Allah. Then exercise strict control in your activities of the day. And at night before you go to bed, do muhasabah. How was my day? Anything good, I thank Allah. Anything wrong, I seek forgiveness. And if you erred, then punish yourself. If you looked at something that you're not supposed to look at, I'm going to give 1,000 in charity. Or I'm going to perform 100 rakats of nafil salah to create that discipline. I'll mention to you two stories and I conclude. The one is the story of Bahlul. Bahlul used to come into the company of Harun Rashid. And Harun Rashid used to see him as a fool. So one day Harun Rashid was playing with the stick. And Bahlul came, so he told him, Bahlul, take this stick. The day you find a bigger fool than yourself, then give the stick to him. Many years later, Harun Rashid was on his deathbed. And Bahlul came to him and said, Harun Rashid, where are you going? He said, I'm going on a long journey. He said, have you sent forth your armies and your people to prepare for your arrival there? So Harun Rashid told him, you fool, I'm talking about death. The journey of death, you go alone. You don't take your army and your servants and provisions. So Bahlul told him, in this world, you used to go for short journeys, but weeks in advance, you used to send your people with the provisions so that they could make your arrival comfortable. Are you telling me you lived your whole life not sending forth provisions that will make your life comfortable on the other side of this long journey of death? He then took that stick and he said, Harun, today I have found a bigger fool than me and it's you, and he gave it to him. And Harun Rashid burst out crying and said, Bahlul, you are right. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. An intelligent person is he who controls himself and prepares for the life after death. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whilst you have life, you have opportunity. Utilize it. The second story, and I'll conclude. There was the saint, and somebody asked him one day, that Sheikh, what was that turning moment in your life, that defining moment? He said, one day I went out in the mid of summer, and in those days there were no refrigerators, and I saw a man who was selling ice. So he came with his block of ice, and he was hopeful that people would buy because it was hot, but people were busy and no one was buying. And the ice started to melt. And he became so panicked that he started shouting out that have mercy on that man whose capital is melting. Have mercy on that man whose capital is melting. And the saint said, that's when it hit me. He's worried about his ice, which he considers his capital. My capital is these seconds which Allah has decreed for which I will live. Every second that's passing in my life is a second that is melting away. I'm wasting the capital of life. He says, at that moment I decided I need to change my life and I need to lead a life more in the obedience of Allah. Let this conference be the changing moment. Every saint has a past. Every sinner has a future. In light of these 5 points mentioned in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah grant me and all of us the tawfiq to seek a better future, a future of ita'at and obedience to Allah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Let me say this before I leave. My utmost appreciation and gratitude to the organizers of this phenomenal conference. Really, it's been remarkable from even before we arrived. The professionalism, the hospitality, the courtesy, and the seamless way in which everything has been running. The organizers really have been world-class, and the attendees have been really super. May Allah grant you the best of rewards. May Allah accept all of our efforts, and may Allah make it such that we meet frequently, inshallah, and may Allah unite us ultimately all in Jannatul Firdaus. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The owner of the car, under Costal ABC 800 PH. The window of your car is open. Please, if you can kindly go and roll up. For safety, please, if you can help us.
Dominic.
We have another announcement. Aji, your uncle down there. May Allah bless our Sheikh. He did justice to the topic. May Allah open your